There is no answer. There is no answer. There is no answer. 100 eager undergraduates chanted in the first session of my genius course as I urged them on. Students typically want an answer to put into their pocket as they leave class that they can deploy later on a test. But I felt that it was important to make this point immediately. To the simple question of what drives genius, nature or nurture, there really is no answer. This issue always caused debate in my class. The quant types, math and science majors, thought genius was due to natural gifts. Parents and teachers had told them that they had been born with a special talent for quantitative reasoning. The jocks, varsity athletes, thought exceptional accomplishment was all hard work. No pain, no gain. Coaches had taught them that their achievement was the result of endless hours of practice. Among fledgling political scientists, conservatives thought genius a God-given gift. Liberals thought it was caused by a nurturing environment. Nature or nurture? Each side had supporters among my students. Similarly, geniuses throughout history have taken sides. Plato said that the capacity to do extraordinary things was a gift of soothsayers and gods. But Shakespeare seemed to place great faith in free will and independent initiative when he wrote, "The fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves." Julius Caesar. On the other hand, in his autobiography, the English naturalist Charles Darwin declared that most of our qualities are innate. More recently, the French philosopher Simone de Beauvoir declared, "One is not born a genius, one becomes a genius." Back and forth the argument goes, natural endowment versus hard work. Geniuses have a habit of not recognizing their own hidden gifts and leaving it to others. Giorgio Vasari, 1511-1574, the acclaimed biographer of the great Renaissance artists, marveled at Leonardo da Vinci's innate talents with these words. "Sometimes in a supernatural fashion, a single body is lavishly supplied with such beauty, grace, and ability that wherever the individual turns, each of his actions is so divine that he leaves behind all other men and clearly makes himself known as a genius endowed by God, which he is." One of Leonardo's gifts was keen visual observation. He had the capacity to freeze frame an object in motion. The outreached wings of a bird in flight, the legs of a galloping horse off the ground, the eddies of a rippling river. The dragonfly flies with four wings, and when those in front are raised, those behind are lowered, Leonardo recorded in a notebook around 1490. Who knew? Leonardo's arch-rival Michelangelo had a photographic memory and perfect hand-eye coordination that allowed him to draw lines in precise proportional relationships. Tesla was a fast study because he, too, had an eidetic memory and could quote, among other things, every line of Johann Wolfgang von Goethe's Faust. Vasily Kandinsky, Vincent van Gogh, Vladimir Nabokov, and Duke Ellington were all born synesthesiacs. When they heard music or observed words or numbers, they saw colors. Lady Gaga is, too. "When I write songs," she said in a 2009 interview in The Guardian, "I hear melodies and I hear lyrics, but I also see colors. I see sound like a wall of colors." In 1806, Ludwig van Beethoven, in the midst of one of his famous temper tantrums, barked at the high-ranking Karl Marx, Prince Lichnowsky, "Prince, you are what you are through the accident of birth. What I am through myself. There have been and will be thousands of princes. There is only one, Beethoven." To this we might respectfully reply, "True enough, Ludwig, but you too are an accident of birth. Your father and grandfather were professional musicians, and likely from them you inherited, among other things, your gift of perfect pitch and musical memory.